It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Each week at this time, we check in with 90.5 WESA's City and County Council reporter Noah Brode. And this week, we're going to be looking at a lot of financial issues. Noah, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you, Paul?
I'm well, thank you. Pittsburgh City Council is taking a final vote on legislation that would launch an audit of the health care eligibility of city employees and retirees' dependents. That's scheduled, apparently, to happen this week. What's going on there?
Right. So council will be taking a final vote on this bill, and this bill essentially is trying to clean up the roles of the city's health care plan and trying to cut some money off of the city's overall health care liability, which is up there in the millions of dollars, if not closer to hundreds of millions of dollars. So this is essentially a way to save money by getting people off the health care rolls who should not be there in the first place. And this is anybody from, you know, a child of a city employee or retiree who has gotten too old, or a spouse who was divorced who, you know, they never went through the process of getting off the city's health care plan. And so really, it's looking for those people, looking for documentation for those people, and just checking to make sure that they belong on the city's health care rolls. And I do expect them to pass this bill. It passed 8-1 in a committee vote on Wednesday. Councilman Ricky Burgess, the only no vote, just because he said he went through this process himself in a different job and didn't like it. So he was the only no vote there. And I expect he'll be the only no vote tomorrow as well.
And we know why this is being done now. What about the timing of this?
Right. Well, essentially, this is, the city trying to just save some money and, smooth out its operations. And, you know, this is one of three main areas where the city does have some liability and it really needs to cut down on. There is just general debt. The city does have, a fair amount of debt from, bonds and such. And there's also the healthcare liability. And so really, it all adds up to hundreds of millions of dollars in liability that the city doesn't really have the money to cover right now. And I think they're just trying to cut down on that any way they can.
Meanwhile, City Council will hold a preliminary vote on a bill that would eliminate the Mayoral Impressed Fund. What is the Mayoral Impressed Fund and why do they want to eliminate it?
Right. I think Impressed Fund is maybe a term that a lot of people haven't heard of. I know I hadn't before I encountered this bill from Councilman Corey O'Connor. Essentially, this Impressed Fund is a $10,000 account that is funded by, city taxpayers, essentially, and it is for the mayor's travel expenses, and these are as needed. So he essentially has a credit card, and he can, go out and spend up to $10,000 at any given time, although I doubt that he would spend $10,000 at any given time. When that impressed fund runs low, then it is essentially just refilled from the general fund, and so it is an account for the mayor to spend for travel expenses whenever he's going out and doing official city business across the country and possibly across the world. And so what Councilman O'Connor is saying with this bill is that he doesn't think the mayor is doing anything wrong or illegitimate with the Impressed Fund. However, Councilman O'Connor did say that he wants to make sure all city employees are filing for their travel expenses, and so that information is, exactly on, record, and it's the same process for every single employee so that the money can be kept track of easier, essentially.
And as you say, Councilman O'Connor doesn't suspect any impropriety here on the mayor's part, and yet the timing is curious.
Right. And this is a time when I think you see a lot of financial cleanup bills. And the last bill that we talked about the healthcare audit, essentially it's trying to, save some money and clean up some things. And this bill is sort of in the same vein, trying to, clean up the city's finances, essentially, sweep some dust out of the corners and reform some things that council members think should be reformed.
We're talking with City Council reporter Noah Brode here on Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Noah, several bills to change the Bureau of Police policies are still in the works. Where do things stand? What's being discussed still?
Right. So first off, a package of three bills from Councilman Ricky Burgess to create a new domestic violence policy that is up for discussion this week and possibly up for a preliminary vote this week. However, this is legislation that has been in the works, like you said, for a long time now. It's been, I believe it's been more than a month, if not even some weeks longer than that. So essentially what this was the legislative reaction to the unfortunate death of Cassandra Wade on New Year's Eve. She was killed by her abusive boyfriend, and the police officers who responded to her 911 call left the premises after her boyfriend told them that the situation was under control. They did not speak to Ms. Wade herself, and that has sparked some ire among city residents. And that was, unfortunately, that was the big story for the police department at the time. And this sort of effort, this package of three bills, was sort of put down, I believe, in January to address those issues, those domestic violence response issues. It was determined that the police officers did not do anything wrong. They did not do anything against their own policy, their own police policy. However, I believe what's happening here is Councilman Burgess wants to change the policy so that they would have to check in with the domestic violence victim. And so what we're seeing here is these bills were put into this sort of ad hoc impromptu committee that was created by Councilman Burgess and, run through the process of, gathering expert testimony and all that sort of thing to craft the legislation to be, a good new domestic violence policy. What has happened here is now several months have passed. It is now April, obviously, and this package of bills is still sort of waiting to be acted upon. There have been some other issues that have come up in the police department since then, but this bill is essentially just waiting for its day in the sun.
And do we know why it's taken so long? Because we've been discussing this for several weeks now.
Right. When this bill, or I should say these bills, do come up for a preliminary vote or for discussion in council's committee meetings, there isn't really a lot of discussion as to why they're being held. I assume Councilman Burgess would say that they just aren't ready yet, that this committee needs to finish its work of crafting them. Again, though, this whenever they were put into this sort of ad hoc impromptu committee, it was said that they would be done in 6 to 8 weeks. So it has been a little longer than that, and these bills are still waiting.
Meanwhile, the Urban Redevelopment Authority is hoping to lock up $9.25 million in state grants for several projects across the city. Sounds very interesting. Fill us in on the details here.
Right. So there's two main projects to talk about here. And this money is essentially, state money that has pretty much already been promised to the Urban Redevelopment Authority if they can get the council approval, which I expect they will. And the first big part of it is $4 million that's going to this Gardens at Market Square project. This is a project that includes office, retail, parking garage, and even a hotel right there in downtown Pittsburgh on 5th Avenue and Wood Street, I should say, right near Market Square. So it'll be a pretty much a brand new redevelopment that was, it's going into a place where there were some, I believe the word that I heard from a URA officer was underutilized buildings there. That's right where the Exchange Record Store was, and I believe a grocer as well. So this new development will go in there. This will secure $4 million for that multi-million dollar project. And another $4 million is going towards this Bakery Square 2.0 project. This is essentially building off of the Bakery Square project in East Liberty, which was a very successful essentially office and retail development down there in East Liberty. This is taking the property of the former Reisenstein School, redeveloping it into, I believe, more office space and definitely some residential areas as well. And so really it's just, building on the success of Bakery Square, building up the infrastructure there in East Liberty.
Well, it's certainly been part of the revitalization of that East Liberty area, of a part of town that had been neglected for for quite some time. And so it's good to hear that there's the finances to bolster that project.
Right. It appears that the state is ready to continue investing down in that area. And, you know, it's just essentially building on a lot of redevelopments going on in the East Liberty area. Obviously, the pretty new Target down there. And then there's the Highland Building, which is being redeveloped. And obviously Bakery Square and now Bakery Square 2.0.
And they seem to be preserving some of the older architecture there, too, in addition to adding new buildings.
Right. And that's the case with the Highland Building. It's a historic building. I believe it's on a National Register. And it's a treasured sort of building, and it wasn't being used very well. And so, putting a couple of dollars in there and revamping that to become apartments is what's going on right now.
90.5 WESA's City Council reporter Noah Brode joining us as he does each and every Monday. Noah, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Paul.
Coming up, we'll continue our series on financial literacy. This is Financial Literacy Month. That's coming up here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.